Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
So good to see you guys here Sunday morning. I know some of you had the opportunity to get away, but you're like, nah, not me. I want some church. I want some of God. I want some worship. So it's great that you're here. We're in the Climb series, so I get the honor of continuing the series today. I have to say this. My mom the other day, she's like, Jerry, I listened to your message on the Pop-Tart. So the Pop-Tart, the podcast, whatever you want to say. I'm like, Mom, you know Pop-Tart's food, right? And she's like, yes, but I thought it was that. In our culture, we mispronounce things all the time, and we know we're going to mispronounce it, but we still say it anyways. I got Katie correcting me like weekly on words. So we live and we learn. Amen. So the title of this message is called One Way Up. One Way Up. And this is all about Jesus. This is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And God's taking his disciples and the crowd up a mountainside to teach him some things. And this Matthew 7 is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. And God is presenting two options, a decision that needs to be made. And it starts off in Matthew 7, verse 13. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So Jesus concluding this sermon, talking that there's two pathways to take. And each pathway leads to a destination. But each pathway is not equally good. One leads to destruction, and one leads to life. And he's presenting this as a choice. He's saying, enter the narrow gate, because this is where this one leads to, and this is where the broad gate, the broad road leads to. The idea of climbing a mountain, it isn't easy. Am I right? It's hard. It's difficult. There's a narrow path. Is it just me, or is there any time if you ever climbed a mountain, there's always just a small little narrow path, right? You're not going to find a broad path climbing up a mountain. It's not easy. I believe God, as he's teaching this to disciples, he's also teaching us that life is not easy, and he's calling us to a life of hardship, a life of difficulty, because in that part, in that pathway, he is there, and he wants to help us through it. And as we go to this sermon, we're going to learn some things that God is calling us to do. I mean, he's calling us to stand out on the narrow path. We could stand out on the narrow path, or we could fit in the broad path. The verse says that many are in the broad path, that many people are doing it. And sometimes because many are doing it, we might feel that it's okay to do it. But I wonder if that compromises something, if it compromises our faith in God. Does it compromise our purity in God? Does it compromise us getting closer to God, to drawing near to him? There's a decision that we need to make. The Message version of this two verses says, don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though the crowds of people do. Don't fall for that stuff. Don't fall for those ads on the computer where it says, go work remotely for 1 year. That's not true. It's not going to work. You can't continue your job and work remotely for that year. Don't fall for that stuff. The way to God is vigorous and requires total attention. Say attention. Attention. You guys have attention today. You guys are with it. For instance, sometimes, you know, and I'll be transparent. I feel this way sometimes. And I'm the campus pastor. On Sundays, I find it difficult to wake up. I find it difficult. I want to tell Katie, do we have to go to church? I don't say that because I know she'll slap me and be like, Jerry, where are the campus pastors? There's a narrow path on a Sunday morning. There's a decision that we need to make. And everything will come on its way. It's raining outside. I don't want to walk outside. It's hot. I don't want to go outside. I want to stay in my AC room. We don't have AC in our house. so we always go out. It's there for a reason. Otherwise, I'll be home all the time. By the end of this message, you will see my shirt sticking to my body. But it's all good. It's all good. There's a decision that we need to make. Sometimes we think, oh, I need more rest on a Sunday morning, which I feel all the time. I'll tell Katie, Kate, I need some rest. But what if the narrow path that's telling you to come to church, that rest is what Jesus could give you in worship? That exhaustion you're feeling during that week could be your healing in worship. That message that you need to hear, that word that needs to encourage you or help you, is at church on a Sunday morning. What about our teams? Our teams get up at 6:30 a.m. to serve and set up church. It's difficult. It's hard. But it's literally leading to life. You're setting up church so people could come and experience Jesus. It's narrow. It's difficult. It's hard. But it leads to life. I'm proud of you guys. You guys are here on Sunday morning. Come on. That's so good. Because you know what you need. You know you need Jesus. You know that Jesus has a word for you. It's powerful to come together and worship together and praise God, glorify Him for what He's doing in our lives and doing what He's doing in the city. It's an amazing opportunity. And you guys are here. And there's always shortcuts that are going to come our way. And what are we going to do when they come? Do we take them or do we follow a narrow path? My first point is shortcuts do not exist on the path to God. And let me clarify something. I'm not saying that it's difficult to get to God. Just through the confession of your mouth, you could have Jesus into your heart. You could do life with Jesus. What I'm saying is there are shortcuts that compromise your faith or compromise your heart where it takes you to a distant place from God. God is always here. God is always there where you were with Him. But it's our decisions that take us away from Him. Shortcuts do not exist on the path to God. You think about the rich young ruler. Who knows the rich young ruler? Yeah, my man Kitsa does. The rich young ruler was a man who probably could have been Jesus' disciple. Jesus said, so the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says that, hey, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, like, obey all the commandments. And the rich young ruler is like, yeah, I've been doing that since I'm a kid. I'm a boss. Like, I'm good. And then Jesus is like, because he sensed something in him. He sensed that he was empty on the inside and said, sell all your possessions and give to the poor. And the rich young ruler, it says that he felt sad because he loved his wealth. I think he thought his wealth was going to sustain him. And so he leaves Jesus. That was a shortcut for that rich young ruler. It was difficult to sell his possessions. It was difficult to give that away. The things that he probably earned. The things he probably worked hard for, but what he missed out on was life with Jesus. What do you need to give away so you could follow Jesus fully? What shortcuts do you need to stop taking so you could follow Jesus fully? Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but it leads to death. There is a way that appears to be right, but it ends and it leads to death. There is a pathway that you're taking that's narrow and it's good and it's right. There is a pathway that you know it's wrong maybe. There are some people who are walking a pathway that they know it's wrong. And there's a pathway where it appears to be right, but it's wrong. They're in the same group. The only difference is one thinks it's right, the other knows it's wrong. What pathway are we walking? The appearance is deceiving. That verse said many people are on the broad path. So what does that mean? Does that mean it makes it acceptable? Does that mean that the world accepts it? It's the norm? See, the ways of the world are way different than the ways of the kingdom. God is calling us to a higher standard. He's calling us to a standard of no compromise. He's calling us to a standard of following Him and pursuing Him. You can't be on the narrow path and the broad path. It is one path. You can't serve two masters. You can only serve God. You can't serve God and you can't serve money. It is one or the other. Katie and I were driving to church. This was a few months back. And Katie's very consistent. She likes taking the one route to get somewhere. I like being adventurous and taking a different route and taking some risk. And We passed by the normal way, the street, well, as I said, Spadina, where we're supposed to turn right on. But I'm like, no, I want to go to the next one where there's a residential street. There's no traffic lights, so it'll be quick. I could go zoom through. It'll be great. But what happened was that shortcut I wanted to take ended up taking me to a dead end because it was a one-way in the opposite direction. And so I'm like, okay, I'll take a left. And then I go to the next street, and it's also a one-way. And then I go to the next one, and it's also a one-way in the opposite direction. So I have to turn left and get back to the street I was already on. And the time it took to do all that, it made us late. We probably could have made it on time if we just took the normal route. Sometimes we try to take shortcuts, and then we end up being back in the beginning again, or we end up being behind. See, up the mountain, there's only one way up the mountain. Up the mountain, it is Jesus. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. Walking the narrow way requires trust in Jesus, that he is the one way. It requires trust in the difficulty. We don't know what we're seeing when we're going, but we will see when we look back. My second point is our capacity grows because of the narrow path. Our capacity grows because of the narrow path. The narrow path is difficult. The trials, the opposition, you know. I know there's people that struggle with being single. It's like I'm waiting for the one. I'm waiting for my spouse. I'm waiting for my partner. I'm with you. Before I met Katie, I was single for 8 years. Even longer if you count my high school years. But I told people, I always cut high school out because I was only concerned about playing basketball in high school. And it was tough. It felt dark sometimes. It felt like I was alone. It was narrow. But there were shortcuts that presented opportunities. There was opportunities that were shortcuts that always presented itself. Maybe you feel that way. There's a shortcut of you know, just hooking up with someone else. There's a shortcut of doing these things that you think is going to find you fulfillment, but it's just a moment. And then there's an opportunity that's in front of you that we're somewhat blinded to because we're focusing on our mess. The opportunity that I had was to deepen my relationship with Jesus. That every time where I felt alone, every time where I felt lonely, there was something called a Bible that I was able to read and fill my life with. Check this out. Psalm 119:105 says, the word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. A lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Sometimes in our trouble and our difficulty, we can't maybe see where we're going yet. God sees where we're going. So if I turn to this Bible and the Bible reveals some things to me, I'm able to go forward because the darkness all of a sudden becomes light. That's what we need to do. We need to use the Holy Spirit to discern the difference between both ways. We need to use the Word of God to discern the difference between both ways. 2 Corinthians 4:17, it says, for these light momentary afflictions is producing to us an eternal glory beyond all comparison. Beyond all comparison. Whatever you're going through, God is always teaching you. Let his word reveal the truths and also reveal the lies. So you could not believe the lies and you could believe the truth. In my case, I had to take away the lie that said I was going to be alone forever. And I had to accept the truth that said Jesus was doing a special work in my life. He was preparing me. The trialing was actually my training. Taking shortcuts only cuts your growth short. Taking shortcuts only cuts your capacity short. Because you're never learning anything through the shortcuts. It's going through the hardships. It's going through the narrow path is where you get to learn from God. And your capacity grows. Your capacity enlarges. Pastor Sam talks about how your physical man stops growing. You know, like I'm 31 now. I'm not getting any taller. If anything, I probably will shrink a bit. Hopefully here too. We'll see. That's the one thing that does grow when I grow old. But your spirit man has the potential to keep growing. Every time we read or every time we pray, every time we get into a place with God, our spirit man grows. And you'll see, like right now, there are people in this room that walk this narrow path. It is difficult. It is hard, but it's leading to life. And your capacity is growing. My man, Kitsa. Kitsa, stand up. People need to know who you are. With his African shirt. Where's that shirt from? Congo. You speak French too, don't you? You don't? Okay, whatever. It's okay. That's weird because Congo doesn't speak French. Anyways, listen, this is something you need to know about Kitsa. This guy comes to every Thursday to prayer. And when he prays, oh my gosh, the passion, the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When he prays, it stirs the room up. All of a sudden, people get inspired. All of a sudden, people want to pray louder because this guy is passionate. He's not afraid. He doesn't want to be on the broad path. He doesn't care if there's that many people on the broad path. He wants to stand out on the narrow path. And my friend, you stand out. People look at you and be like, I want to be like Kitsa. And then all of a sudden, you become one of the best evangelists because people want to come to church because they want to know who you are and who you represent. The story of Enrique. Enrique, his spirit man is growing. He's come so far. His wife, Bonnie. Bonnie, spirit woman, is growing. She's learning new things and she's trusting God. She's depending on God and she's persevering. And your spirit inside is growing. You think, you maybe think that you're not there yet, but God is using you. God is building you. He's growing you. My man, Michael Sexsmith. You think he's pretty fit. He's a teacher. But his spirit, man, is more fit. The way he prays, the way he goes after God, the way he brings excellence in everything. We have this thing called LIFT in our muscle team. Michael, can you tell us what it stands for?
Muscle team LIFT. Lanyards, invite, fresh, time.
Boom. And then this is the one he made up. Okay, we made up LIFT. Actually, Pastor Stan made LIFT. We took it from him. But then he put an S behind it. What does the S mean? Come on, spirit of excellence. And this guy always wants to bring excellence to what he's doing. Your spirit, man, are growing because your capacity is growing. And why? Because you're walking through the narrow path. You're walking, you're embracing the hardship, you're embracing the difficulty. When you think about, I think about being in the gym and there's two scenarios, okay? There's the one scenario where you have, it's just you and the trainer, okay? Who's been in those scenarios? You have the personal trainer. It's great. Mark's like, no, not me. And then there's another side when you're in a class and there's like 20 people. And there's one trainer as well. Okay? This is why I don't like the scenario where there's 20 people and one trainer. Because when they're asking you to do 30 push-ups in 30 seconds, you have so much potential to cheat. There's a lot of potential for you to shortcut. Who knows what I'm talking about? It's like, doing the push-up, you do the full one, and then the trainer looks away, and you're like, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Yeah, I'm good, 30 push-ups. But then you're in this scenario with the one trainer. He's like, one, two, three, and listen, he's yelling at you. He's like, get it going. I'm like, I'm done. No, he's like, keep going, four. And he's yelling at me. I feel like he's going to kill me if I don't get it done. The difference, church, is my capacity in this side is going to grow way beyond more than my capacity in this side. Because this side, I'm taking the shortcuts. But this side, I'm doing it with integrity. God is taking you to deeper levels with Him. He's taking you to higher standards. And your capacity will be enlarged. Hebrews 12 says, I'm already tired from those four push-ups. Come on. Hebrews 12 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. My parents used to spank me growing up. It hurt, but it corrected me. I mean, it doesn't have to be spanking. It could be put in the corner, timeout. I like those ways. That's what we're doing when we have kids, right? Timeouts. I hate time. I think timeouts are worse than being spanked. Like being in a corner, it's the worst thing ever. It's hard. It doesn't seem pleasant. It seems painful, right? But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who train by it. A peace that transcends all understanding. A peace in God. A confidence in God. That you know when you get the next battle, when the next obstacle, when the next hardship comes, you're able to conquer it because you already did it. I love the story of David. David defeated Goliath, the giant, who tormented the Israelites. One of the most known victories in the Bible. Everybody refers to that victory. It is a famous victory for the Israelites. Did you know David was also the person that when no one was watching, when he was tending his sheep, he also defeated a lion. That lion must have been difficult. It must have been hard. I actually think of the scene with the bear and Leonardo DiCaprio in that movie. You guys know what I'm talking about? That was difficult. That's what it would have been for David with the lion. But I wonder if he was seeing what God was seeing. Because see, what God was seeing hey, that victory over the lion is going to prepare you to defeat Goliath. That victory, that first victory, and your faithfulness and not being seen is going to help you when you are being seen and have the lead to one of the greatest victories ever. He was on the narrow path. It was difficult. It was hard, but it led to life. There is some trialing. There are some obstacles that are coming your way. But when you embrace it, your capacity enlarges. In 2 Samuel 22, this is also in Psalm 18:36. This is David speaking. This is well after being the king for a while. This is well after defeating Goliath and defeating many other armies. He says, "You have enlarged my steps under me that my feet do not slip." You've enlarged my steps under me that my feet do not slip. When you're on the narrow path, when it's difficult, when it's hard, and you keep persisting, God will enlarge your steps. He will grow your capacity so you can defeat the next thing that comes your way. Amen? Your persistence in the climb will not only lead to greater capacity, but also God's perspective. See, David might not have looked when he defeated that lion, why am I going to fight this lion? Why can't I just run? But when he defeated Goliath, I'm telling you, he looked back. And he said, that's why I defeated the lion. We don't know what we're going through, but when you defeat it, you're going to look back and you're going to see what God was doing in you. He was enlarging your capacity, just like David. That's my last point. The hard path leads to higher perspective. The hard path leads to higher perspective. Katie and I had the privilege of going to Presence Conference this year, which was in Australia. If you're new, if you don't know, we're part of a global family. So our main pastor is our lead pastor. So Pastor Sam and Jess are our lead pastors. Then we have the people who started the whole thing. This is Pastor Chris and Phil Pringle. Actually, they're coming in September for Canada Conference. So I hope you're registering for that so you can hear them. It's going to be amazing. But where was I going? Oh, Presence Conference. Yeah, it was great. It was a good time. Katie and I, we went on a road trip on the Great Ocean Road. Saw pretty much, it felt like we were in heaven. It felt like the highway to heaven, right? The narrow path. It was the highway to heaven. We saw the light. It was great. And it was a great experience, great trip. And we came back, and last 2 weeks ago, we go to visit my parents, and I get two pieces of mail from the government of Victoria, Australia. I was like, oh, wow, the Victoria government sent me some mail. Cool. I don't know why. Like, I used to live in Australia. Maybe they want me to come back. I don't know. And so I opened the one piece of mail, and at first I was like, this is a joke. And it's a speeding ticket. Thanks for laughing. Speeding ticket. This is where you're not going to laugh. Or maybe you will. $320 for that speeding ticket. Yeah, ooh is right. I'm like, who charges $320 for a speeding ticket? I was going 15 over, which is very normal here. Am I right? And then the conclusion came, this is why all the Australians moved to Toronto. They all came to Canada because of the speeding in Australia. It's heavy. It's a lot. Pastor Sam's like, I'm going to plant a church in Toronto. No more speeding tickets. Just kidding. I'm kidding. God called him here. And then I was like, oh, so they sent another piece of mail. I'm like, oh, it's probably because I haven't received it at first. Like, I was going to my parents' house. So they must have sent a second copy. You know how sometimes you do that? They send a second copy. And so I open that one. Oh, yeah, same ticket, right. And then I'm scrolling down, and I see, wait a minute. There are two different times. One says 7:52 p.m. One says 7:58 p.m. And then my heart starts racing, okay? This is like $640. And then, like, this can't be. When you get caught by a police officer for a speeding ticket, you're not going to speed anymore. Am I right? But this wasn't a police officer. This was a camera. They're coming here. Watch out. To Toronto. And then I'm looking at the speeding tickets at a different part of the highway. It was 6 minutes from where I was before. And I got two speeding tickets for $640 in total. What did I do? I threw those in the recycling bin. I texted Pastor Sam. I'm like, Pastor Sam, am I ever going to Australia again? He's like, you don't need to. I'm good. And then I was walking away, and for some reason, I couldn't stop looking at the recycling. It's actually a bag. I remember it so clearly. And it was a blue bag where we put all of the paper in it. And then I was like, the Holy Spirit just said, pick those letters out. Took the letters out, put it on my table, still looked again, looked around to see if anybody was watching me. No one's watching me. I can throw it back in there, no problem. And then I was like, okay, I don't want to do anything with this now. I'm going to talk to Pastor Katie because she has a good soul. So she's going to give me reason. And so I put it in my backpack. I wait to the next day and I tell her. And I actually thought she was going to be really upset. But she said that, Jerry, we got to be honest with this. We're walking down a narrow path. We can't, she didn't say this exactly, but we can't take any shortcuts. But she did say we need to be honest with this. And that's when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Jerry, are you going to rob me of the opportunity for providing in your life? Because you see, the shortcut that I wanted to take was me feeling like I was going to miss out, so I didn't want to pay it. Right? That's what shortcuts do. We think we're going to get there quicker. So I thought me having to pay it was going to prevent me from doing something else. We just got hit by the government that week to pay $4,000 in taxes back, which we already paid before, like a lot. Katie's an optometrist. So we had to pay $4,000. She does pay taxes, by the way, but it was just an additional expense. She's honest. Don't worry. It was something we weren't ready for all in the same week. And we're trying to buy a house. And so I thought it'd be normal. I thought, yes, so many people would do this. They would just throw it out and not worry about it. But we needed to be honest. And that's when the God dropped that bomb on me. See, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it talks about robbing God of the tithe. Right? And we hear that sometimes and we're like, kind of feel a little convicted. You know, oh man, one of these messages again, like to give. We're robbing God the tithe. I believe in giving the tithe and giving it to the church because it maintains the vision of the church. And this is the higher perspective that God is speaking. That's one perspective. The higher perspective is that when we do give, if we don't give, sorry, we actually rob God the opportunity of opening the floodgates of heaven in your life. That's the high perspective. My perspective of looking at those tickets and throwing it in the garbage. And then there was the higher perspective of God saying how I'm going to provide in your life. I am actually better than that shortcut. Church, what shortcuts are we taking? And God is saying, hey, I want to work in your life. Stop trying to take control of that. Because sometimes his ways and thoughts are higher than our thoughts and ways. Isaiah 55, 8 to 9. This is a verse you need to memorize because you always know that God is bigger than your trial. God is bigger than your obstacle. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. How great is that? Our God is seeing something different than what we might see in that moment. But when we defeat and we persevere and we persist up that mountain, we're going to see what he sees. I love climbing a mountain. You know, when you climb a mountain, you look back, you see perspective. You see territory. You climb a little bit higher, you see more territory. You climb a bit higher more, you see more territory. Every battle, every obstacle, we're going to see better. We're going to see a higher perspective with God. Amen. Your shortcut to get what appears to be better shortchanges God, who's going to give you the best. He has the best for you. And it's along the narrow path, the difficult, the small path. And here's the thing. We need to be able to trust in him. We need to be able to have a relationship with him. And some of you today who don't have a relationship with Jesus, I'm going to give you the opportunity to lift your hand and tell God, I want to do life with you. Sorry, I'll get the keys up. So if you could bow your head and close your eyes. There are three people in this place. There is one person saying, this is my first time, or this is my second time. And I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to enter through the gate. It says that Jesus is the door. He is the gate. And today's the day where you could give your life to Jesus. Today's the day where you could say, God, I want to do life with you. I want to climb that mountain. You are the only way up. The second person, obstacle, trial has happened. And for whatever reason, you feel distant from God. You feel far from Him. And you think you're too far gone. You think you're too far gone on the broad road. But God says, I'm here. I'm here waiting, and I want you to come back to me. And in a moment, you could lift your hand and you could come back to Jesus. And the third person, you just want that assurance that you are on the road to spend eternity with Jesus.